Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
As those of us who have children know, the birth of a child is a blessed event without equal, except perhaps as we rejoice in the birth of our grandchildren. It is a time of expectation, and it is a time of joy as we begin to raise a child to become all that child will be before the Lord. But sometimes, as we raise our children, there is heartache and there is pain. Back in Genesis chapter 4, when Eve gave birth to her firstborn child, a son named Cain, she cried out, "I've gotten this child with the help of the Lord." Despite what many people say today, children are a gift from God, a gift that we have been entrusted with. Maybe Eve thought that Cain was the one that God had promised back in Genesis chapter 3, the one who would come and crush the power of Satan, that devil who had deceived her, led her and her husband into rebellion against God. Maybe she thought that this child was the one who would rescue them from their sin. We all have expectations about what we think our children will grow up to be. But then in time, Eve gave birth to another child, a son, by the name of Abel. And those two brothers grew up, and Abel became a shepherd. Cain became a farmer. And somewhere in the course of their upbringing, they had been instructed that because all men and all women are sinful, that the only ground on which they could come before a holy God was through the blood of a sacrifice, an animal that had been slain, a picture, a reminder of one who would come. A reminder that there must be one who would pour out his blood as a sacrifice for our sin. And so Abel brought a sacrifice to the Lord. He brought the best from his flock. And Cain came and brought a sacrifice. He brought fruits and vegetables, the best of his harvest. But it wasn't what God had told him to bring. And so God rejected his sacrifice. But he told Cain, if you will turn from your disobedience, you will turn from your pride, and you will follow my commandment, then it will be well with you. But we know what happened next, don't we? Cain became angry. He became angry with God. He became angry with his brother. And so he murdered Abel, the result of a heart that was filled with sin and with rebellion against God. And although Abel is dead, his blood still cries out to us today. We are told in Hebrews chapter 11:4 that the sacrifice that he brought was a sacrifice given by faith in God. His life speaks to us today that the only way we can come before the Lord is by faith, according to his plan, his provision, his solution for our sin. Not according to our own thoughts, not according to our own opinions, not according to all the good things that we do, the fruit of our labor, what we think will please him, but we come according to what he has done for us. And ever since the days of Cain and Abel, since the beginning, the enemy has continued to deceive us into thinking that what we do, the work of our hands, will somehow be acceptable to God for our salvation. That is a lie that many people believe today. And that is a fact that Paul has been trying to explain to the churches in Galatia. That following anyone, following any religion that is teaching that our deliverance from our sin can be accomplished by our own efforts is to follow the way of Cain. But Cain was religious, wasn't he? He brought a sacrifice, but it was not according to the word of God. And those who trust in themselves, those who trust in their own righteousness, those who do good things in order to please God, follow the religion of Cain. That is a reality that the whole world lies deceived in that lie. But those who are like Abel, those who put their faith in the blood of Christ, they will be saved. Salvation will be found. So, this letter that we have been looking at, letter to the Galatians, is a letter of extreme importance, isn't it? Because this letter gives us the urgency and the intensity of the issue that the Galatians faced. It was concerning their understanding of how they could be made right with God. And there were those who had come in among them, who were leading them in the way of Cain, leading them away from God, leading them to an eternity of separation from him. So Paul has pointed out several times in this letter this difference in direction. We are either heading towards God or we're heading away from God. And the point of decision, that point comes at the cross of Christ. There are those who celebrate the birth of Jesus and who celebrate it every year. They celebrate it with angels announcing the birth of our Savior. They celebrate it with shepherds who bow down before the manger of that holy child, God in the flesh. There are those who remember and who celebrate the life of Jesus, a life, an example of love and of goodness, one who was a healer of the afflicted, a teacher sent by God. But the reality is this. There are only two groups of people in this world. There are those who belong to Christ who have come to the cross, and there are those who have not. So Paul ends this letter to the Galatians and tells them this, that our understanding of the cross of Christ will determine our eternal destiny. There is no issue of greater importance to every man and woman on this earth. So he concludes his letter, but he draws our attention to his handwriting, to his penmanship. A lost art today. He says this in verse 11 of Galatians chapter 6. See, take note with what large letters I am writing to you. He wants us to look at his handwriting. He says, you know my eyesight is poor. You know how difficult this is for me. But I am writing this letter to you myself. In fact, he says, I am printing it. I am printing it one letter at a time. One word at a time. One sentence at a time. This is a painful process for me. But this is how important you are to me. You are breaking my heart. Normally a scribe, what the Romans called an amanuensis, would write letters. In fact, it would probably be a slave in the household. And when a letter needed to be written, he would write that letter in script. The professional flowing style. That was the custom of that day, and his master would dictate this letter to him, and he would write it down, and then the master would sign his name, maybe with a brief word. Paul tells us here, I am writing this letter. I am writing it with my own hand. That is how urgent this is to me. This is how urgent this is to you. There are those who are teaching you, he says, that you must try and keep the law of Moses. You must try and keep the rituals in order for you to be saved. But they have it all backwards. The laws, the commandments of God, were given to show us that we can't keep those laws. That we fall short of God's standard, his righteous standard of perfection and holiness. They were written to show us that we don't have the ability or the capability to please him. The law was written to show us that we have a need. The need that we have is a Savior. We need someone who has kept his law perfectly. And we need someone who'd be willing to die for us because we haven't kept his law. And so we've all sinned against him. We need someone. The law's been written to show us we need Christ. That's why it's been written. But Paul says those false teachers, those teachers who were there among you, they haven't taught you that, have they? Why not? Well, because they don't really care about you. False teachers don't care about those that they teach. They don't care about your salvation, Paul says. They only care about themselves. They are the ones, verse 12, he says, who desire to make a good showing in the flesh. Uprosopeo in Greek. They want to look good. It's all about appearance. They want people to follow them, so they preach a message of law, of rules. Something that will never change your life. Something that will never require you to abandon yourself and fall at the feet of Jesus and ask for forgiveness. They've altered the message. They've lowered the standard. Why? So they can attract more people. So they can get a larger audience. It's their pride that drives them. It's their ego. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 of people like that. He said they practice their righteousness before everyone. So that everyone can see them. They let everyone know how much they're giving to the Lord. How they're denying themselves. How they're sacrificing themselves for God. When they pray, they love to pray. And to have people see them and to hear their words. They already have their reward, Jesus. They have no reward from God. And that is what those teachers are doing, Paul says to the Galatians. And they give the appearance that they are men of truth, godly men. But as it says in Colossians chapter 2, What they teach is a man-made, self-made religion. That is the religion that they bring. And so it has no value. It has no value to save you. It has no value to keep you. And even though this is true, still, he says in verse 12, they try to compel you. Anagazo, they want to force you, to pressure you. They want to try to pressure you to be circumcised and to try to keep the law of God as part of your salvation. But what's behind all this? Paul says, here's what's behind it. Here's the reason that they do that. It's because of fear. They do it because, he says in verse 12, they simply preach. But they don't preach the cross of Christ so that they may not be persecuted. Dioko in Greek. Pursued. Hunted down. Like an animal. That's why they don't preach the truth. They're afraid. You know, the price for preaching the truth was severe. Followers of Christ were abandoned by their family, by their friends. They lost their jobs many times. And even if they had money, people wouldn't do business with them. They wouldn't even sell them the basic necessities of life so they could live. They had no rights. They had no protection under the law. And the government of Rome, looked at them as enemies. And so they were targets for persecution and for execution. Simply because of their faith. Simply for the cross of Christ, Paul says. Simply because they preach salvation that is found in no one else except in Him. But you know, in Roman society, it was considered improper and inappropriate to even use the word cross. No one talked about it. Why is that? Because crucifixion was considered the most cruel and painful and humiliating and shameful way to die that had ever been invented. So they believed that it was too repulsive and too shocking to even talk about. So much so that a Roman citizen was never executed by crucifixion. Things haven't changed much today because the cross of Christ is still an offense to people. Today, there is hatred among those, even in other religions, because the child in Bethlehem is also the Christ of the cross. And the cross is a graphic reminder that every religious system in this world is inadequate to make us acceptable to God. They all follow the way of Cain. They all bring a sacrifice, but without blood. And both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in Leviticus chapter 17, in Hebrews chapter 9, we are told that without the pouring out of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sin. But the world refuses to buy that. They reject that claim. The world speaks of Christ the way the people spoke in Luke 19, verse 14. And they say, we will not have this man to reign over us. They might celebrate his birth, but they will not embrace his death in their lives. So, what are we to do? What can we do? Except to look in awe and in amazement at what God has done for us, all we can do is to fall at the feet of our Savior and to weep because of the terrible price that needed to be paid to save us. Nothing that we could ever do could ever accomplish what he has done. But, Paul says in verse 13, those men among you who are circumcised, they're teaching you that you must also be circumcised in order to be saved. He says that they don't even keep the law themselves. They're telling you to do something that they don't have the ability to do, that no one has the ability to do. They want you to bear a weight, a burden on yourselves that they're unable to carry. But they desire thelo in Greek. It brings them great joy to have you circumcised. Why? Verse 13, he says, so that they may boast in your flesh. Kaukaomai. Says they're all puffed up. They're full of themselves. They exalt themselves. They glory in the recognition that they receive because you have submitted to their deceit and their deception as they parade you around with a yoke of bondage on you. They may appear to be godly, but they are servants of the enemy. So turn away from them. They glory in themselves. They don't glory in the cross of Christ. So they are enemies of the cross. But may it never be, he says in verse 14. May genoito. It is impossible that I should boast, that I should glory, that I should exalt myself or anyone or anything else, except that I should glory in the cross of our Lord, the Creator of the universe, the God of all things, our Savior, Jesus, who came into this world from the glory and majesty of heaven, from the worship of angels, to come as the Christ, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, who took upon himself your sins and my sins, the sins of the world. And Paul says, even though the cross is a way of death, a word, in fact, that is considered unspeakable, I will speak it. I will speak of the cross because it has become my life, my joy, because it is through the cross of Christ. It is the way in which this world, the cosmos, he says, the world system that's under the control of Satan, everything in this world that is not of Christ, all of it, he said, has been crucified. It is dead to me. I am no longer under the control of this world. It no longer has its grip on me. I'm no longer led around by its lies. But not only is the world crucified to me, I am crucified to the world. I no longer have the desires that I once had. I'm no longer interested in the things that I longed for. They're meaningless to me now. I count them. I consider them. It's garbage. But instead, as it says in Colossians 3, we are to keep seeking those things that are above. We are to keep seeking to understand the reality of who we are in Christ, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. We're to set our mind, we're to set our heart, we're to set our affection on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Why? It says, because you have died. You've died to this world, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It is a true statement that we may be in this world, but we are not of this world anymore. So Paul says, I rejoice. I glory in the cross. I exalt God the Father who has shown his love to me by giving me his Son. For a sinner like me. For in Christ, he says in verse 15, neither is circumcision observing these rituals of the law, the things that we think will make us right with God. He says, that's not anything. That doesn't have any value. Nor, he says, does uncircumcision have any value by not observing those things, by not following the law. Both of them. Whether we do it, whether we don't do it. Because both of them are of the flesh. Both of them are of this world. Both of them are part of the false religion of this enemy. There's only one thing that I can say, he says in verse 15, that now, by the power of the cross, by the power of Christ in my life, all that matters to me is that I am a new creation. I haven't just been renovated. I haven't been rebuilt. But I've been newly constructed from the ground up. I've been born again, born from above. My life has been transformed by Christ. I have a new perspective. I have a new awareness. I have a new life in him. And those, he says, verse 16, those who belong to him, those who belong to him will walk stokeo. They will follow, keep in step with this rule, with this canon in Greek. Standard, this principle. What standard? What principle? What's he talking about? The principle is this, that by faith in Christ, and in Christ alone, we are saved and we become a new creation in him. Before we knew Christ, it says in Romans chapter 5, we were enemies of God. We were cut off from him, alienated from him, it says in Colossians chapter 1, hateful towards him. But now, Paul says, verse 16, we have peace with God. Now, because of Christ, we have a new relationship with him. We're part of the family of God. He has shown us mercy. He's not given us what we have deserved, but now our salvation rests in him, upon his goodness towards us. And this blessing, Paul says, will be upon them, upon all who come to Christ, and upon the Israel of God, whether they are from the Jewish nation or they are from outside of that nation, if they come by faith, like Abel, and they come before the throne of God, they come to the cross, then they are the true Israel of God, the true children of God. So from now on, he says, verse 17, loipos, for the time that remains for me, let no one cause trouble for me, kopos. Let no one from among you bring me any more pain or sorrow. Brothers and sisters, do not grieve me by giving in to their lies. Let us be one. Let us be at peace. For I bear in my body, he says, I'm carrying the brand marks of Christ, the stigma in Greek, the scars of my suffering for him, for the gospel, for the cross of Christ. Some of our scars for Christ can be seen by other people, can be seen by everyone. But then there are other scars that we have that no one sees except him. He knows. He sees. And like Paul, we are in his hands. So as Paul began this letter, he ends it in the same way. He ends it with a reminder of the grace of God. How else could he end a letter? Except to speak of the grace of God towards us. His blessing. His favor towards us. He leaves the Galatians with this thought. May you live your life before the Lord with a heart of gratitude for all that he has done for you. May you walk before him in love. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit and be the measure of your life. Your attitude. Your motivation to love him with all your heart. And to love each other, brethren. And so I say this to you. Amen. May it be so. May it be so for his honor and his glory. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.